Welcome back to Daft on Draft. I am one of your hosts, Dalton Miller, joined as always by the fake Corey Kinnon, as his Twitter name is, or X, whatever you guys want to call it. And today's Thursday episode, we were talking about this. How are we going to do this Thursday podcast? What are we going to talk about? And I think Thursday is a good day for us. We're past the week before. We're not quite to the week coming up. Let's have a little bit of fun with this one. And I came up while I was eating dinner and trying to keep my very small child from throwing food everywhere. I came up with the idea of building the board, which we will do later in the year as we start to really pound the table for guys. But we're going to start to build the perfect prospect. And we're going to do it at all the different positions that we can think of as long as we have done the work on those positions. And the first one we are going to do is wide receiver, a position that we have already talked about at length with our rankings and, you know, talking about guys. We've seen more guys since then as well. And I think it's just a fun idea to build a little bit of a Frankenstein, get the listeners involved, get Twitter or X or Instagram involved. Tell us who did the better job building the perfect NFL prospect. But as always, let's ask Corey, how are you doing today?
Yeah, man, I'm good. This is unique to be back in the lab already, and I like it. Lots of draft talk going on. So, and we got week three to talk about tomorrow as well. So this is just football's back. And I mentioned it last time. The weather's changing. The leaves are falling. My headspace is great. Is great. So happy to be here, man.
And let's get right to it. Let's get to this because we have categories here. We have traits to talk about here. We're going to go through catch radius, yak ability, vertical explosiveness, fluidity, and quickness. Those two together. Route running, because you can be fluid and you can be quick, but you can be a very dull route runner overall. Then we're going to go to play strength, size, and we're going to finish up with, like, who's just a freaking target magnet? And there are a couple of guys like that in college football who might not go in the first three or four rounds, but are getting 130 targets in their college years and get 20 targets a game sometimes. So let's start off. We'll just go back and forth here. I'll start catch radius. This one is easy. And it's catch radius. It's the ability to do the spectacular. It's a little bit of consistency as well. But hands are so hit or miss, even from year to year with guys. So it's tough to just be like, oh, their hands. No, what can a guy do that other guys can't? And I think there's only one guy that you can really look at in this class, and that is Tetaria. How do you say his first name?
Tetaroa
McMillan from Arizona. It's the only guy you can really pick. He's 6'5". He's got the wingspan of a wandering albatross. It is a legitimate freak of nature out there. Also a target magnet, but we are only allowed to pick a guy once, and there is nobody that is even close to McMillan's catch radius ability to go outside of his frame and finish. Corey, I assume you have the same guy for this one.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to spend a whole lot of talking about it, because I mean, like, there are some like 6'1", 6'2" receivers who can go up and get the football. Like Odell Beckham Jr. is probably the perfect example of a receiver who's not 6'5" with an extraordinary.
Like, and Aranda Gatson is 6'5" as well, but a little bit different of a player than McMillan as well.
He's nowhere near as explosive, for sure.
No.
Yeah. So, like, you could make an argument where, like, well, this guy's 5'11 with 30-inch arms, and he still catches everything way outside of his frame, but, like, that's getting a little too cute with it, I think. So, for now, I think we're both going to burn maybe the most talented receiver in this class
On catch radius. Yeah, it's tough because we could have legitimately picked him for three or four categories here. Let's go to the next one here. And this one might be a boring one as well. I think we've talked about it at length here. But yak ability, who do you got?
Luther Burden III here. Again, when we talked about wide receivers, this guy is probably, and again, you can't comp many wide receivers to Deebo Samuel, right? Because Deebo Samuel plays the most unique role we've seen a wide receiver play in a really long time. And just his ability to use his lower half, which is thick with two C's, maybe three or four C's, to just completely run through slot defenders, to completely run through boundary defenders, second level, third level defenders. And while Burton isn't that, he definitely still has pretty chunky legs. And if you see just how most of his catches are manufactured in space, with and most of his yards are coming after the catch and what he can do with the football in his hands after the catch, it's a good mixture of fluidity to make guys miss the open field versus running through arm tackles. And so, again, not comping him to Debo because that's just such a unique player, such a unique role under a unique play caller in mind. But I do think that Luther Burden is the guy in this class that, like, if somebody's demanding manufactured touches at the next level, it's Luther Burden.
So I want to talk about an actual comp that I might have for him from a yak perspective. And it is you were talking about guys with really short arms who can catch everything. Ja'Marr Chase after the catch. Now, I don't know if he's quite as explosive as Ja'Marr Chase is, but Ja'Marr Chase is another guy who, he's not built like Debo, but he can break tackles. He's explosive. He is a shifty and cerebral runner after the catch. And I think that you get a little bit of that with Luther Burden as well. And it really comes down to, you don't want to comp anybody to Debo Samuel after the catch.
Yeah, for sure. But Ja'Marr definitely has established himself as a guy who's like, because you didn't really see it at LSU a whole lot because they were throwing everything down the field. Yeah. But now Cincinnati, as soon as he got the NFL, like, they're manufacturing screens, like tunnels, quick hitters, and he's just running through
85 yards. Yeah, if you give him an angle.
For sure, yeah. So that's a really good one. That's phenomenal.
Vertical explosiveness. And man, this was, I battled with these next two, vertical explosiveness and fluidity and shiftiness. And I ended up going, and this is a little bit of recency bias because I just watched his tape against Boise State, but Evan Stewart, just the ability to take the top off of a defense. Yeah. And he has that little bit of springiness and fluidity with him as well as a route runner. But in that Troy Franklin role at Oregon, he might not end up with all of the targets and the catches that Franklin did. The quarterback play might not be quite as good this year at Oregon, and he might just not command as many targets because there's a lot of targets to go around in that offense. Mm-hmm. But man, he absolutely dominated that football game against Boise State down the field. And so I had to give him this one.
Yeah, I'm taking it in a different direction. Not an unknown name, but, relatively. I'm going to go with Berrion Brown from Kentucky. Who can absolutely burn. Like, he's going to run a sub-4.3. If he declares again, I mean, he was in high school in 2022. So, like, he's still got 2022, 2023. He's a true junior. So, like, there's a chance he couldn't declare. But most receivers who have that ability, like Xavier Worthy declared at 20, and I didn't, like, he had some drop issues and stuff like that. Texas still went first round because he can move and he can get lateral and he's shifty as well. So, like, I don't know, but I was looking at this guy's track numbers in high school. He ran a sub 50 400 meter dash, sub 22 200 meter dash, and sub 1100 meter dash, like, all in high school. He's going to be a sub-4.3 guy at the combine. And if you watch what he can do at Kentucky, this dude might be the fastest player in the country. Might be the fastest player in the country.
Do you like him better than Dane Key? Have you watched both of those guys yet? Or
not 100%, but they're different players, you know? So yeah, it's hard to,
for sure.
But I think I'd probably prefer the more explosive guy.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I am, we're moving on to the next one here, a fluidity, and I'm going to let you take the first one here.
Yeah, and so I think either of us could have used this guy for vertical explosiveness as well. It's our boy out of Texas who we've both been on the record of saying this is, I think this guy could win the Biletnikoff because he's going to get, I mean, he could be a target magnet too. Like, just look, he could fit a lot of these categories, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Bond for fluidity and quickness. Like, that guy's ability to snap off, that dude's ability to just get in and out of breaks, to be just oily smooth in the open field with the ball in his hands. Like, I think I'm gonna, Isaiah Bond has to fit somewhere on the list, and I'm gonna stick him right here with fluidity and quickness.
All right, so full transparency, that is who I had, but I was battling between two different people here, and so I'm gonna take Bond out, and I'm gonna go with another Oregon wide receiver here. I'm gonna go with Tez Johnson.
Okay,
Tez Johnson, 5'5", maybe. I mean, he is
He's tiny.
Miniature, but so quick and so easy moving everywhere he goes. He really reminds me of somebody who, at the NFL level, he's not going to be much more than like a Cole Beasley guy, but on a 3rd and 3, I know that he's going to get open on a whip route. Like, it's going to happen. Nobody is keeping up with him if they are unable to keep their hands on him. He is that fast. He's that explosive. He is that quick. And so for me, my real answer is probably Isaiah Bond, but I do love me some Tez Johnson as a guy to pick up a couple of yards and pick up a third down.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. He is a guy who, like Bo Nix, found all over the field, mm-hmm. all over the field, and would just make, he'd have juice after the catch too. So, yeah, I think we're on to play strength and go ahead.
No,
and
not yet. We're on to route running. First.
Oh, route running first. Okay. Yeah. You go ahead and lead off on this one.
Another one that I struggled with here, because I really like two guys specifically at this, and I ended up going back to the guy who I've just loved for 3 years now. It's Emeka Egbuka.
Okay.
Not the most explosive guy in the world, not the strongest guy in the world, mm-hmm. but he is just simply a professional route runner mm-hmm. to his core. The intelligence that he has and the ability to attack leverage, and then also his fluidity as well, which I think is a little bit underrated, even though he's, you know, not a small guy. You know, he's around, 6 foot, 190, maybe 200 pounds?
He's listed 6'2", 210.
210?
And I know this because he came in somewhere else on my list that I probably just gave away by knowing exactly what he's
But is he really a
I'd say he's probably 6'1", 200.
And so let's talk about this for a second. Yeah. You're looking at a guy who's 6'2", 210. I mean, you're looking at somebody that's like Amari Cooper size. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not as explosive as Amari Cooper is, but that's the type of route runner that I kind of liken him to as well, because he as a route runner, he plays with a little bit of play strength. That play strength isn't as much there after the catch, but his ability to get open, he does kind of remind me of Amari in that respect. So, Emeka Egbuka, my guy for route running.
Yeah, I took this one a different direction, and I went with a slot receiver here.
Well, Emeka Egbuka is...
That's pretty true, too. That's kind of true. Because those slot receivers, they just know how to attack leverage. They know how to find green grass, and they know how to get out of routes, and they know how to present their number, and they know how to catch the football. And I think an important thing to what, like, I almost use this guy also for my target magnet, because he had 119 targets last year, and he's got like 13 again this year already. But I'm going to go and use him here for route running, because I have maybe an ace up my sleeve for target magnet. So, so I'm going to go with Xavier Restrepo here from Miami for my route runner. Again, he's off to a hot start with Miami. He's already over 200 yards receiving, 100 yards in both the games so far. And again, his catch percentage is 87% through two games. And one of those was against an SEC in-state opponent, a rival, where he caught 7 of his 8 targets. Dude just knows how to get open. Dude catches a football. And so I'm going to go with one of those small, shifty dudes, and I'm going to go with Restrepo for my route runner.
Love it. A little bit out of the box as well. We love to see that. Play strength, and you are up first on this one.
Yeah, so this is a guy that we both said we loved in our last podcast. Again, he's not much of a runner. He's not a big runner, but he is a guy who just knows how to play through contact, and he's going to catch everything no matter the window. And he's done it so far through two games at Ole Miss. So I'm taking Trey Harris right here for play strength. Again, 6'3", 220, big freaking dude. He's just a bully. It doesn't matter if you're Trey Donner or not. He's going to find a way to bring that ball in. He's going to find a way to box you out. He's going to find a way to bring the ball in. He kind of reminds me of it. And this is on a different thing, because one, Purdue lied on this guy on their roster when he played for them, because he was actually like 5'11". But it kind of reminds me of David Bell, right? And that's extreme, because David Bell is like a bottom 1% athlete. So like, I'm not saying Trey Harris is that bad of an athlete, because he's not. I think he's a 4'5" guy. But like, David Bell just knew how to stack people. David Bell just knew how to box out defenders. David Bell just knew how to make sure the football hit his hands. And if the football hit his hands, he was catching it at Purdue. Like, he was a Biletnikoff finalist. Like, everything that came at him, he was catching. He would be the definition of a target magnet if he were in this class. But that's kind of what it reminds me of. And again, I think Harris again is probably still twice the athlete that David Bell is, and probably a good 3 inches taller based on what Purdue had, or based on what he actually measured in versus what Purdue had him listed at when he was at Purdue. But just kind of that same play strength of like, it doesn't matter if this guy's draped on me, I'm catching this football.
Yeah, and Trey Harris, a good pick. Trey Harris could have been the pick for Target Hog, and he could have been the pick for route running as well, because I think he's a very, very good route runner as well. I went a little bit different direction. I went with a guy who was very highly regarded going into the year last year and then got banged up immediately and somehow played really banged up, kind of in and out of the lineup all year. That is South Carolina's Antoine Juice Wells.
Ooh.
For play strength. Somebody who, after the catch, also very, very good. Big, powerful, explosive guy. Very good runner after the catch when it comes to being able to find little openings and being able to break tackles. But, you know, that all kind of goes into the play strength as well. He's a bigger body wide receiver. They love those bigger body guys at those bigger body athletes at South Carolina. So for me, he is the play strength guy. Love and it. I thought about him for size as well, because he's a pretty good size.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I went a different direction with size, and I went with Alec Aiemanor.
Okay, he was on my list. I thought about him.
Yeah, and I think he is what listed is 6'2", 215. So I mean, that's kind of exactly what I want in an X wide receiver. Mm. And that's kind of all there is to it. I mean, you know, he's listed at 210. But he is a bigger body wide receiver. He's a physical guy. And that is the type of body type that I really like on the outside, especially if you're getting the yak of Luther Burden and you're getting the explosiveness of these other guys. I don't need this guy to be 5'11", 190, which is a perfectly acceptable size at wide receiver, especially these days. But now, give me my big bodied X wide receiver.
Yeah, so I kind of let the cat out of the bag on this one. We had talked a little bit off the air, like, we don't prefer 6'5" wide receivers.
No.
Like, the amount of 6'5" wide receivers who can move like Tet McMillan are very, very small. Like, he's an outlier to the nth degree, which is why he's considered maybe the best receiver in this class as well. But I'm not going to prefer that body type. Like, if I look at the best wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk is 6'200", CeeDee Lamb is 6'2", 200. Justin Jefferson is 6'1", 203. Ja'Marr Chase is 6'2", 205. Like, there's very much a threshold that a lot of these guys, there's a size bubble where these guys are physical, but they can also move really well. If you get too big, you can't move too well, you know? So, like, I took Emeka Ebuka at this because he's listed at 6'2", 213, which means he's probably 6'1", 205, 6'1", 200. And again, I just think that is that bubble, that standard for a wide receiver size based on like what we have at the NFL level. Yeah. Like, these are the best receivers in the NFL are between 6 foot, 6'2", and about 200 to 205 pounds. So I think Emeka Ebuka is my size guy that I'm going for right here.
Yeah. It's listen, it's only every once in a very blue moon, unless you are in the draft class with both AJ Brown and Julio Jones. Those body types just like don't really exist. Right. Those types of athletes don't really exist for the most part. So, no, I think, you know, 6 foot to 6 foot two and 195 to 210 pounds is kind of the perfect body type for a wide receiver at the NFL level.
Yeah. Does this mean we both have the same ace up our sleeves for a target magnet here?
But we're about to find out. Okay. Who is it for you?
It feels like a little bit like cheating, but it's Travis Hunter.
Oh,
I put Travis Hunter. Like,
no, I didn't even consider Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
In this. That's interesting. So,
because, I mean, historically, maybe not, because he's playing both ways. Right. So like last year he saw 73 targets, which isn't a target magnet, but he was also hurt. He missed games last year. This season,
doesn't play all the offensive snaps. Anyways. Yeah.
This season he has 20 targets already in two games. He's playing 97% of their snaps.
Yeah, it's like, gross.
I mean, and he is their best player. And the reason I say that he's even a target magnet is because, and you talked about this as well when we talked about Travis Hunter on that podcast that was strictly about Travis Hunter, breaking him down on both sides of the ball, is that like, even at the NFL level, you're going to have to find a way to get this guy on the offensive side of the ball 10 snaps a game.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, you have to. He's that good. You have to find a way to get him some snaps on the offensive side of the ball. And you have to try to find a way to get the ball in his hands. Like, if you have that guy and you're not trying to do that, like, he is the closest thing to his head coach that we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Since maybe Chris Gamble. But even Chris Gamble didn't demand offensive snaps at the NFL level. He only played defense for Carolina. He only played corner when it came to the NFL. Champ Bailey, same thing, almost won a Heisman at Georgia, playing both ways. He only played corner at the NFL level. So, like, even those two guys, I don't think are a really good comparison. I think he is the closest thing to Deion Sanders that we have seen, probably since Deion Sanders, where you literally have to say, this guy's too good not to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So I don't Travis Hunter that is my.
I think that's a really good pick. I think that's a really good outside of the box pick. I'm going a little bit of a different direction here. I'm going with somebody, and I'm going to just bring up the targets right here, right now for him. In 2023, this man had, oh, come on, let's get it going here. Anyways, it's Torrey Horton. It's Colorado State's Torrey Horton. Torrey Horton had 134 targets last year. He caught 96 of them for 1,100 yards. And in this year so far, through two games, I'm trying to bring it up real quick. It's amazing. This internet is so fast. He has 11 targets through two games right now. So not quite as good. But I think last year we saw games where he had 18 targets, 21 targets, mm-hmm. 10 targets, 12 targets, 11 targets, 11 targets, 11 targets, 12 targets, 10 targets. Like, the dude just found a way to find the football last year. And I think he's one of those guys, you know, a little bit like a former Colorado State wide receiver in Michael Gallup, who is a guy who can go in the mid rounds, is a, you know, a little bit older of a prospect at this point, but somebody who is just a good wide receiver overall and is going to command targets as your, you know, wide receiver three at the NFL level.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think it's hard. It's always really easy to make those same school comps, but it's hard not to see a little bit of Gallup in him. Yeah. Hard not to see a little bit of Gallup there.
Yeah, especially the way that Gallup was used at Colorado State. Now, Gallup was more of just a downfield guy for the Dallas Cowboys when he was at his best with Dak Prescott. But I think when you look at their usage at Colorado State, it is very, very similar overall. So that's it. My guys here, catch radius, McMillan, Yak, Burden, vertical explosiveness, Stewart, fluidity, Bond, route running, Egbuka, play strength, Wells, size, Ayomanor. Is it Ayomanor?
Dude, it I'm going to have to look it up again.
I think it's Ayomanor. I think it's Ayomanor. I think it's just that quick little way to do it. Ayomanor and then target magnet, Torrey Horton.
You said Isaiah Bond for fluidity, but you changed it to Tez Johnson.
I did change it to Tez Johnson. That's probably going to make me lose this game, too.
All right, mine, the first two are the same as Dalton. Catch radius, McMillan, Yak, Burton. Vertical explosiveness, Berrion Brown from Kentucky. Fluidity quickness, Isaiah Bond. I did take Isaiah Bond. Play strength, Trey Harris from Ole Miss. Route running, Miami's Xavier Restrepo. Size, Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. Target magnet is Travis Hunter from Colorado.
That's good. And listen, we're going to continue to do this. We haven't decided what position we're going to pick next, but I have a feeling it's going to also be on the offensive side of the ball in a skill probably. Position because we've watched those guys already.
Yeah.
So that will be fun next Thursday when that happens. Tomorrow we will be back previewing. Is it week three or is it week four? It's week three. Because week zero screws me up.
It does, man. I hate it.
It's week three of college football. You can always tell because they're 2 weeks ahead of the NFL. That's the way that we have to remember that. Yeah. They're 2 weeks ahead of the NFL. We're going to be back. We're going to preview this weekend. We're going to preview some of the matchups that we are excited for in this upcoming week of college football. And then we will be watching college football Saturday and Sunday so we can talk about it to you guys on Tuesday. Corey, do you have anything else you would like to say?
Man, I don't think so. This is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun.
This is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. It's way more fun than being a Cleveland Browns fan. Anyway,
okay. Yeah.
As always, guys, I love you. Goodbye.